This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Hello and welcome along. Hope you've had a good weekend. It is Sam Hutt and Luciana Gray, and this is FUBAR Radio on a Sunday evening. Thank you very much to James Acaster and his guest today, Luke Wright. But now me and Lucy with you for the next 2 hours, attempting to do radio, our very own version of it. It's like an interpretation, an odd interpretation of radio, don't you think, Luce?
A good interpretation.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Whoa.
I'm always
confident at the start of the show, and you're always trying to be all self-deprecating and stuff, so you look modest.
And it's not a case of looking modest. I just don't want people listening under false pretenses. I don't want them tuning in after James Acaster. Perhaps someone's listened to James there, and then suddenly we come on.
Sure.
I mean, it was a change of pace with his last record and our first record.
We went straight into it.
We did, as we always do, 99 Souls, The Girl Is Mine.
Which we will play every week until it's number one.
Yes, we will. I've even tried to... Oh, God, this... I'm going to kill the bed. Right,
whoa,
I've got 99 Souls.
Whoa,
99 Souls news.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I sent 99 Souls an email this week.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, my God. Okay,
Because I said to them, look, this is the deal. At the start of every Sam and Lucy show on Fubar Radio, we play The Girl Is Mine. Do you fancy talking to us?
Right.
That's what I said. That was email. Not quite in those words. I was much more polite.
Yeah.
I finished with yours sincerely.
Flamboyant language and all that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Add to it.
I received an email back.
You haven't told me this? Yeah.
I haven't, no. I mean, I'd forgotten until now.
What did they say?
Well, they said no, for now.
Why?
Well, because it's getting a proper release and everything, isn't it? That's what it is.
So, I mean, did they at least say thank you for playing our song every
yes,
single
did.
Week
yes, they
at the
did.
Head of the show?
They just told me what's going on. They just said, look, this
All
is the
right,
deal.
Fair play.
We're in the process of signing a deal with a record label for the song. However, let's revisit this when we're doing some kind of promotion for the record.
So, okay.
There you
I
are.
Mean, that's not a complete slap in the face.
No, I'm friends with 99 Souls.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah.
I'm kind of friends by proxy.
Yes, your name got mentioned.
Yeah.
They are
they
familiar
know
with
who
Lucy.
I am.
Exactly. There you
but
are.
It was definitely, I felt really bad. James Acaster was playing that lovely song at the end. We went straight with 99 Souls.
I know,
but
yeah.
I'm a bit starstruck, Sam.
Yeah, tell me about this, because you're
I
a big fan.
I just met James Acaster!
Because James has been doing the show.
I hope he's gone. I hope he's not. Is he gone?
He's gone, apparently.
He's gone, okay,
right,
good.
Okay, good.
Oh, my God, I'm such a big fan of his. Like, that kind of, like, him, Josh Widdicombe, Nick Helm, oh, my God, just, he's such a great comedian.
Both us, me and you,
yes.
and James have been doing the show since the turn of the year.
Yeah.
Yet this is the first time we've managed to cross paths.
I know, it's March, and this is the first time we've met him.
But it's because we don't always do it live. And that's both James and me and you.
Yeah.
I think in the recent weeks...
I mean, we do it live most of the time.
Yeah, but we've actually been the worst culprits in the last few weeks.
In the last few weeks, we've been a bit dodgy.
I mean, James was here last week. Where were we?
Holiday.
Taking a week off. We didn't even pre-record last week. Just I'm not bothering.
Nope, holiday.
Nope.
Self-proclaimed one as well.
Yeah.
Wasn't even given to us. That kind of shows that no one... Oh, I was going to say that shows no one cares, but that we can just take a holiday.
Well,
there were no repercussions.
They were quite happy for us to do it. They were. The bosses were quite happy.
For God's sake, just stop talking. Yeah.
Why, was that a bad thing to say?
Well, what? You're kind of. Oh. This is, again, your self-deprecating nature. You know, we need to big up the show. They should miss us.
I like honesty. I feel like honesty is the best thing a radio presenter can be. So for me to come in here and say, they weren't bothered. The bosses weren't bothered that wasn't here last week. I think it's refreshing.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Mm. You can tell he's the journalist here.
What, and you don't think honesty is a good thing?
No!
Okay.
We're a Sony award-winning
right.
show.
Okay, what I'm going to do then, I'm going to start the show again with that bed we always play,
yep.
and I want you to do an intro, okay? Just mm-hmm. show me maybe how it's done. Okay. All right.
Yeah, fine, so I can do
All right, so I'll play the jingle.
I can do radio.
I'll play the jingle, and then we'll... Right, ready?
Yeah, ready.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Hello and welcome to FUBAR Radio. You're listening to Zane Lowe and Fern Cotton.
It's lies.
What?
That's lies.
What?
That's... One more time. You're going to take it seriously?
No, I'm ready.
Although, saying that, they could easily be at FUBAR in the next few weeks, couldn't they?
Who knows?
Who
exactly.
knows?
That's why I said them.
I mean, the press hasn't covered it yet. I mean, everyone knows they're both leaving.
Yeah.
But nobody knows they're coming here. Uh-huh. Zane, that thing about Zane going to LA... Total okay. rubbish.
All right, let me try again. I won't lie. Okay. I'll say it's Sam and Lucy. Sam and Lucy.
Right, okay, I'm just going to have to bring the bed back. You can hear me clicking a mouse.
Click, click. Right. Professional.
You ready?
Yep, ready.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Oh, hello there, and welcome to the Sam and Lucy show on FUBAR Radio. We're with you until 8 o'clock this evening.
Fact.
And we're 5-time Gold Sony Award winners, and One Direction will be coming in later to talk to us about their new album, which they're doing with the Beatles.
Well,
stay tuned for that. It's going to be a belter, everybody.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Although that was lies... You knew that I'd like all that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You knew that I'd love the idea that One Direction were coming in and we've won loads of Sony awards.
Yeah.
So I think we'll go with that.
Yep.
There you are.
That's what's happening.
The award-winning Sam and Lucy show on FUBAR Radio.
Woo-woo. We all know I'm for lying and everything like that, but do you want to tell us what's actually happening today?
Yeah, okay. I've got a menu that is full of truth and not
truthful,
lies.
Delicious truths. Truths?
Right, on today's show, this is actually what happened in no one direction today, but we do have a couple of guests. I caught up with DJ Yoda earlier in the week, and we'll be hearing what was said later on in the show. Lucy, you weren't available for this. I was disappointed.
I was busy. Plus, DJ Yoda?
Wow, okay.
DJ...
You're not familiar with DJ Yoda?
Sam, I don't know any DJs.
He's big. He's got a show on Sick Music and everything.
I know DJ, like... DJ, when you press those old Casio keyboards and they go DJ, DJ, that DJ, DJ.
Yeah, but there's actual people who make a living out of this, isn't there?
I can't name any.
Some of the richest people in the world are DJs.
Like, is Avicii count as a DJ?
Yes.
All right, I know that one.
But then these people, like the radio presenter / DJs, that's what DJ Yoda is.
Cool.
Okay, well, I'll explain more.
Well, I look forward to learning, Sam.
Yeah, well, maybe this is a good thing because it's 33 minutes and 21 seconds, including DJ Yoda's new single, that interview. And initially, I thought, that's a shame that Lucy's not going to be in the show for 33 minutes, but maybe it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, seeing as I haven't heard of him.
Exactly, you can learn because I sound like I'm fangirling throughout the 30 minutes, as you'll hear later
on. Like me and James Acaster.
Exactly.
I love you, James Acaster, you're amazing.
He's still in the building, I've just been told, so
no,
just, that's what I've been told.
I don't care. I think he's a legend.
Also in the show, we've got to talk about International Women's Day, haven't we?
Happy International Women's Day, Sam!
Thank you. Yay! You're the first person to say it to me today.
I know. Sam called me up earlier, which he does, you know, most days. Can't
most
get rid
days.
Of him. On
yeah,
my shoulder. Yabba, yabba, yabba. But no, and I said Happy International Women's Day before I signed off.
Yeah.
And you said I was the first person to say it.
I think I'd had three conversations already. I mean, Sunday's quite a lonely day for me.
Oh,
I kind of keep myself to myself, but I'd had three conversations in total. Oh, no, maybe, no, just one.
Mm-hmm.
So you were the second, and you were the first person to say Happy International Women's Day. So thank you for that, Lucy.
That's all right.
Was I the first person to say it to you?
Well, this morning, because I've driven from York today, because I'm a legend, and I was with a group of girls up for a 21st weekend.
Right.
And, we started off the day, and we had a cup of tea, and I toasted everybody Happy International Women's Day.
With a cup of tea?
Yeah, and we toasted with our
tea.
Wow,
what a way to celebrate.
Well, it was like 9 in the morning, Sam.
Yeah, but come on, it's a big day, surely.
Well,
particularly as you're there waking up with a group of girls. I mean, that's perfect. What better way
to celebrate Women's Day than with a bunch of women?
There should have been some, like, carb or something.
We drank all that on Friday.
Did you?
We got through so much cheap Prosecco.
On a Saturday, shops do open.
What?
They do. So, if you know when you got rid of all your Prosecco on the Friday, if you knew International Women's Day was coming, as I know you did, you could have gone out to the shops.
But as well as getting rid of the Prosecco, I got rid of my money.
Oh, okay.
No money.
But your car was full of fuel? So you were already, you know, you were ready to drive back?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, siphon the fuel and sell it to buy Prosecco.
No.
Okay.
No. I just wondered how you got here if you had no money.
Yeah, it was full.
Okay, good. We will be celebrating International Women's Day with a special guest. We thought we'd better do something for this.
Yeah.
So we'll be speaking to Hannah, who works for Sport England. She's going to be talking to us about this This Girl Can, which is something you brought to my attention.
Very, very exciting. Like, basically, anybody that's been on Facebook in the past 3 months will have surely seen This Girl Can, which is just a big campaign getting women active in sports and just physical activities, either to get fit or just have fun, because there's a big disparity between genders and doing exercise and sport and stuff. I'm really excited. This Girl Can's a massive thing. Like,
good.
I'm genuinely really psyched to have her on.
So
you've got DJ Yoda.
Exactly.
I've got Hannah from Sport England.
This is what I was going
to
say.
Each to their own, mate.
We don't hear your voice at all during that DJ Yoda interview. Maybe we don't hear my voice whatsoever when we get Hannah on.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Well, yeah, all right. I'll silence you.
Okay, good. Although I am in charge of the faders.
Which I still don't like. Can I have my own? I kind of feel like, you know, in a car when you've got a mum and a little kid sometimes, the parent will be driving the car.
Yeah.
And then the little kid will have a...
I'm glad to hear that.
...will have, like, a toy steering wheel next to it.
It does happen,
so,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Or like, a toy, like, cooking set, so when the parent's cooking or whatever. I feel like you should give me a little toy fader set so I can just sit here and feel like I'm doing something.
But you have no control.
Oh, no. Don't trust me with that. God,
it
no.
It won't
it'll
be like
be
a learning to drive situation.
It'll be like this happens. If I just press...
Sam Hart and Lucy Anna Gray on FUBAR Radio.
I mean, that happened to be quite an appropriate one. I was hoping for...
Well, what were you hoping it would be?
I don't know, like...
Don't press anything.
This is why I'm not allowed. I just wanted to try pressing something and see...
I said don't
like
press anything.
Exactly.
There you are. That's what happens when Lucy presses buttons. That's hello in monkey.
Sorry.
That is actually hello. But do you remember that
hello.
From a few weeks ago?
I do.
That came up because of the feature Around the World in 80 Seconds, which I'm going to actually nail today.
Yeah, I don't believe you. You're so bad at it.
No, we're going
to... You get all bogged down in the first one, and then I give you a look as if to say, oh my God, you're so useless at this. So the second one, you get all tongue-tied, and you're like, and then in North Korea, something happened with...
Honestly, I'm going to nail it today. If you haven't heard it before, basically, I've got 80 seconds, not 80 days, to go around the world. So I cover some of the weirdest news stories from this week. The other game we'll be playing, of course, is Celebrity Chop. Lucy's...
Oh, I missed it. I was drinking coffee.
Celebrity Chop. Lucy, you're awful at it. We used to do 5 celebrities in Celebrity Chop, but not today. Just 3 now.
Yeah, we had to cut it down.
It was just a time waster, effectively, wasn't it?
It was 5. I'm sorry. But I know that people play along at home, and if you do want to get in touch with us, Celebrity Chop, International Women's Day, if you just want to say happy International Women's Day, tweet us at FUBAR Radio and get in touch and let us know.
That's quite nice, Luce. I think that note, we go into our first feature.
It was almost subtle.
Naughty Naughty's tune. Today, Luce, what is it, please?
It is Gnarls Barkley with Crazy.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
And the time is nearly 6:20. What is that?
Ooh. Being Gnarls. When did he stop being Gnarls and become CeeLo?
Do I have to do this? I hate when people say this.
I knew it would annoy you.
Oh!
I knew it would annoy you.
I remember.
I had to say it.
Do you remember?
I remember.
When CeeLo Green had that big hit.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said big hair. He doesn't have any hair. When CeeLo Green had that massive record.
Yeah.
Forget You.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Yeah. So that was the one we play here on FUBAR, but of course.
Whoa now.
It is.
Not on our show anymore.
No, that's
Sam's
true.
Sam's banned me from swearing.
No swearing on this show. Never. So if you were to hear CeeLo Green Forget You, it would be that version on this show, not the other one.
Which disappoints me.
F word you.
I'm a fan of the swears.
I'm not a fan of the swears. I find it inappropriate and unnecessary.
You're unnecessary.
See? Much better word. I mean, you could have said, you swear word then, and what you said was actually more hurtful. You're unnecessary.
I mean, that's harsh.
That is harsh, isn't it? It's much more personal. But what I'm saying is, when Seagull had that hit record, Forget You, people came into my form, because I was in sit form then.
Yeah.
They came into form and like, when didn't Knowles Barkley change his name to CeeLo?
Yeah.
And it really wound me up. Knowles Barkley is a band consisting of CeeLo Green and Danger Mouse, where CeeLo Green is
Danger
a solo
Mouse.
Artist. Yes, Danger,
Danger Mouse.
That's his name.
Danger
that's,
Mouse.
He's kind of the producer behind the...
It's Danger Mouse.
Yeah, Danger Mouse. Right. So Danger Mouse and CeeLo Green, a.k.a. Knowles Barkley and Crazy. That was a naughty, naughty's tune for today. I'm glad we've cleared that up, Lucy.
Thanks for that. Thank you for explaining it.
That's all right. We didn't really get into how your weekend was.
I mean, it was pretty epic.
It was pretty... Really?
But confusing.
Oh, really?
Okay, so friends... So me and Sam, both third-year university, so we're doing the,
yes.
you know... The standard go to everybody's 21st birthdays around the country, parading
That's it,
around.
Yeah. We are both.
Which everybody does.
Are you 21 yet?
Yeah.
I've already been 21.
You were 21 in
October. Yeah. Just the side of Christmas.
December?
No, October.
No. I was December.
Oh, were you?
I was talking about myself,
okay.
as usual.
No, that's fine. What did you do? You went to Russia or somewhere?
South Africa? I went to South Africa.
Okay. Did I say what I did?
I went to Stoke.
I did, and I had a few friends round, and I bought some Monster Munch and put them in a bowl on the table, and some sweets in the bowl on the table, and about five people turned up. That was my 21st birthday.
Oh my God, Sam.
Yes.
Wow.
But, as
well,
we're
blessed.
Both... It's okay.
It's all right. It's fine. That's fine.
It's all right.
It's fine.
But what we're doing now, what we have to do, what is the law, every other weekend at the moment, it feels like one of my friends is turning 21.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like, you know that, I mean, I haven't got to this stage yet, but when you get to about 25, between the ages of 25 and 30,
yep.
every other weekend's a wedding,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I was just about to say that. It's the exact same phenomenon, because my brother's 29, he's doing the exact same thing, touring around weddings, and I'm just, you know, going, no, I mean, I sound bitter. I'm only bitter because I'm poor, but going around to everybody's university and, you know, making the most of our short-lasting youth. And so I went up to York at the weekend, which was really good fun. Big group of girls I went to school with, so we've been friends for donkey's years. I don't go north of Birmingham.
Really? That's as north as it gets.
I mean, I like Scotland.
Well, that's very north.
But between Birmingham and Scotland, I rarely do that whole thing.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know many people that live there. I have no reason. It's far away. I live in Brighton. It's very far away.
Yeah, but you've got family Stratford area, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Stratford is maybe half an hour south of Birmingham, if that.
Yeah. So why would I go past Birmingham?
There's some brilliant places north of Birmingham.
Well, so I experienced York, and we did the proper, you know, nice new dresses, pre-drinks, go out clubbing, yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
Sam, would you like to know the club I went to, okay?
In York?
By day, it's not a club.
Are you gonna give this club, like, a raving review, and maybe we should get them to sponsor the show? Is that what's about to happen?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in York.
I'm in York.
How many girls has there re-established this?
Well, from my school, there was five of us, but then she had
Oh, there were some outsiders as well.
Well, she had about 40 of her uni friends at pre-drinks.
Right, so how are you getting on? Because, can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
When I go and visit a friend at uni...
Yes.
I hate to see them with their friends.
Do you get jealous?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think... Go on, how long have you known? How long have you known Jack?
And you always go, yeah, but she once did this thing when we were 14 and it was really great. And then everyone
Yeah, you may live with her now.
Yeah.
You may share fajitas of a Friday night and
yes!
cook for each other.
Yes.
However, where were you at a 14th? That's what I'm like.
Yeah, okay, I definitely had a bit of that, but it was okay because she had loads of friends there.
Right.
And it was a big party first. They go out very late.
Did they?
The taxi didn't come till 12.
See, that? Now that's about right for me.
Oh! No.
I
and they're
rarely
like, oh, we'll
go
be out
but...
till like 6. And I was like, oh, no, 6. I'll be up at 6. What are you talking about?
Really?
Oh, well, I get up at 8, so going to bed at 6 is ridiculous.
When you have a night out, you are allowed to stay in bed past 8.
Oh, I know, but I don't want to sleep the whole day. I'm in York. See, I was treating it like a nice getaway weekend,
right.
to be honest.
Because it's a lovely city, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we went out clubbing, and the place we went clubbing, by night, it's sort of cheesy pop. Swifty, etc.
Yeah, got a place
for it.
Which is
quite nice. A bit hot and sweaty for me.
Okay, that's
no ventilation.
Right. But you did wear a jumper, you were saying?
No.
Okay, good.
I did not wear a jumper. I was wearing a nice dress, thank you.
Right.
By day, it's a Chinese. Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurant
like
by
proper
day.
Proper sit-down, nice Chinese restaurant. So, every hour on the hour after midnight, they bring out prawn crackers, Sam.
Do they really?
Something else about the North that confused me.
But hang on, don't... That's not what happens in every nightclub in the North.
It is. All Chinese restaurants, possibly Indians, I didn't investigate.
Double uppers, nightclubs.
Clubs in the
no,
north.
No, they don't.
North of Birmingham.
That is the first
like
time I've ever heard of that ever
you
happening.
You hit Staffordshire and you go up and they're all like it.
It's not
Sheffield,
true.
Sheffield, York, Stoke, Newcastle.
No. I live in Staffordshire, Cheshire border, or my parents do, and I can tell you I don't know of any place. Last weekend I was in Leeds, I didn't see a restaurant that became a nightclub.
I just don't think you were paying enough attention, because that is what happens. But you know what is weird about the north, and this is a north thing.
Right.
Unless they do it in London and I've just missed out. I mean, I don't really go out in London often.
Are you aware that you may be offending people?
I don't
like,
care.
Statistically, you're offending right now 50% of this country, great country's population.
It's probably not 50, though, is it?
I'd say so.
Because of population distribution.
No, okay, but probably. If we're looking at where the biggest cities in this country are, the
all
five
right, all right,
most
fine.
Populated cities
answer
in this country.
Answer me this.
Go on.
Can you buy treble and quadruple vodkas in the south?
No, because that's illegal.
Right.
Isn't it?
No, apparently not in the north. Because there was a girl from, obviously the girl from York there.
Right.
And then another girl who goes to Sheffield. And they were like, yeah, trebs and quads. And I was like, sorry?
Really?
And in the pub, we got there and I was like, oh, pint of Guinness, please.
That's what you
sure.
went for? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It was really cheap. I wanted to make the most of cheap Guinness.
Of course.
Because normally it's like £4, but it was £2 there.
It's just about the most expensive drink,
isn't
it? It
was £2 for a Guinness. So I was like, I'm going to stock up now.
Right.
My liver. And they were like, oh, can I have a Fanta Quad?
And that means Fanta.
And it comes in a pint glass. And it's four shots of vodka and Fanta.
See, I've never come across this. I've heard of doubles. And
Yeah, doubles,
and people
obviously.
Then saying, can I have a pint glass?
Yeah.
And they do that thing of... You know, two doubles into a pint glass and the barman
yes.
has to turn a blind
that's
eye.
That's what we do. I mean, I don't do that, but people in Brighton, they'll go like, oh, can I get three shots? And they'll pour it into a glass.
Of course.
Sure, that's one thing. But you can buy trebs and quads, they're called.
Right, I think we need to do some Googling because...
This is true. I swear on my life, that's true. I
believe you, but I just think we need some clarity on whether it's illegal or not.
Well, it was on the like chalkboard. It wasn't like they were saying, mate, can you hook me up with a quad? Like, it wasn't like that.
You didn't have to go to a special part of the bar
shake hands with someone or anything. It wasn't like that.
No passwords.
No dodgy, mate, do you know someone called Quad? It wasn't like that. It wasn't that. Literally, on the board, it was like quads and trebs and stuff. And they were like, and the girl from Sheffield was like, yeah, that's normal.
Right, okay.
But then when it got a bit further south, like my friend from Exeter, she was like, no,
well, that's,
we don't have
Exeter
that.
To Sheffield, that's quite
that's
a jump,
right.
isn't
but
it?
But there wasn't anyone in between. There was Aberystwyth, but that doesn't count. It's Wales.
Again, I don't know if you can say that. You've managed to offend a lot of people. I'm sure Aberystwyth is a great town, and Wales as a country
not.
Is
There's
a great place.
There.
Well, it's a university.
Yeah, that's it. They got a lot of pubs. They got, what's there? The fact that Aberystwyth students always say there's more pubs per square mile than anywhere else in the country or something.
Well, there you are. That's why she had to Aberystwyth.
But I don't know if they do quads and stuff. But yeah, so that was something else about the north that was strange. People are much more friendly.
They are much more friendly,
which
yeah. And that's a positive, isn't it?
Daytime.
Yeah.
Yes. Nighttime, I'm used to, in Brighton, it's literally like, if there's drunk people in the streets, yeah. you just walk past them. But it's not like that there. It's very friendly, which... It's good to a point, because I'm just naturally that kind of south, like, back off.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so when a big group of lads are coming up to us and, like, my friend's vomiting in the street, I'm like, whoa now,
back
they're
up.
Being sick, leave us alone.
Yeah.
And I just...
Because you assume they're about to make a pass at you, because that's the only thing you know that...
Which
male-
they did.
Oh, they did. Oh, I thought you were going to say...
No, they weren't right. like, oh, do you want a hand?
Do you want a hand of your sick friend?
Yeah, no, it was literally like they, like, tried to grab me and kiss me, and I was like... Oh my God, this is weird. And everyone, they're very chatty and it's just,
okay.
it was just different. But overall, I had a fantastic weekend, that's mm-hmm. for sure. And like the curry was very cheap. I paid £3 for a curry. That's obscene.
Is it a buffet situation?
Nope.
No?
Takeaway.
So what did you get for your £3?
Chicken, corn and rice.
For £3?
And it was a proper full-size one as well.
That'll do, won't it? Although you can't call korma a curry, I don't think.
Oh, don't even. I know I'm useless. We've been through this. I can't do spice.
Yeah,
I'm pathetic.
You are pathetic.
The creamier, the milkier, the better.
Well, I don't... That doesn't count as curry.
I can't coconut as spice.
No, you don't. You can't, possibly. Right, more nonsense chat after this. It's Riley Ritchie.
Danger warning. Good morning. Is it dark outside or light? Last night was sordid, but we conquered the boredom. We wanna be cool and light, but you won't see me crawling. Don't wanna make this awkward. I'm feeling nauseous, and I'm seeing four of us, but we came with five, and we don't waste time. We'll live or die, but we choose life. We'll be nuts forever. We don't know any better. We're lazy, whatever. At least we stick together. We're the greatest. I mean it. We'll never be defeated. You can take us or leave us. We don't care if you believe us. Leave us. One drink, two drink. Young, we're stupid. Who the f*** knows what they do? Life is boring and we can barely afford it. We've been blindly assuming that this won't be our downfall. When we work for the council, stuck with a house full of kids that we now adore. But we made on a whim, though we fade and we dim. We're amazing and slim, the queens and the kings.
We'll be nuts forever. We don't know any better. We're lazy, whatever. At least we stick together. We're the greatest. I mean it. We'll never be defeated. You can take us or leave us. We don't care if you believe us.
When we're 83, we're gonna live forever. Even if I fall in love and have kids, will you wait for me? We'll go hell for leather. Taking a tally of every day that we lost, taking a vacay, taking a sick day, and we're off. When we're old men, we'll be lost. Doing the rounds of paying the cost. We'll wait past the sunshine and ice cream. I pray it's not a pipe dream, as dumb as it might seem. When we're grown up, will you still like me?
We'll be nuts forever. We don't know any better. We're lazy, whatever. At least we stick together. We're the greatest. I mean it. We'll never be defeated. You can take us or leave us. We don't care if you believe us.
It's Riley Ritchie and The Greatest. It's good that Lucy was having a lovely sing-along there.
I was doing a little sit-down dance. And because I'm in a swivel chair, I was kind of going like, side to side a little.
You're making the most of the swivelling?
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Nope.
Because that wasn't one of your choices yet.
It wasn't.
You really enjoyed that as if it was
one of your own. No, it surprised me. I didn't think it would be quite that good. But
oh, really?
No, I was going with it. It was nice.
Okay, good.
I like it when there's a big group of people singing like that. You know when they all join in and it's like...
That's the best part of any record.
Yeah, I love that.
Any song that has got multiple people, it sounds like some kind of choir,
mm-hmm.
That is the recipe for a hit record for me.
Yep, you just have to put that in the last like repeat of the chorus and you're fine.
There is a book somewhere, I've been told about this, that tells you exactly how to make a number one record, and I bet that's one of the things in there.
Probably.
The other thing I think is brilliant, a group of children singing.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's incredible.
I don't like the sound of children.
Pardon?
I don't like the sound of children.
How can you not like children?
Oh, children singing and just general, like children on adverts. Oh,
right.
I hate it.
You were a child one day and hopefully you will have your own children one day, right?
Don't know.
Probably not. Okay. You're one of them, are you?
Right, it's International Women's Day, Sam.
No, but why are you hating on children?
What are them?
Sorry, just hating on children is what I mean.
I mean, I do hate on children, but that's not... Like, the reason I wouldn't have children is I'm just not sure I want them.
No, that's fair enough. I completely understand that. But the actual hating on...
The only children I've ever met I actually liked have been ones I've related to. Like, my little cousins
and stuff.
But you're
forced to.
Are great. They're awesome.
You don't mean that, though.
No, I like my cousins and, like, my cousin's kids. But random, like, on adverts, like Haribo adverts... And stuff like
that.
Well,
surely the parents are the most annoying ones on that, because you're thinking you're 42 and you enjoy Haribo as much as a 6-year-old.
This is true. Yeah. I didn't say they didn't annoy me.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the children's voices in general. I like baby laughter. That's nice.
Cute, yeah.
That on those, like, milk adverts or whatever that's
for. So are
you
basing your opinion on children simply on adverts?
On Haribo adverts and Lemmy's.
That's it?
Not Lemmy's. What do I mean?
Another
musical? I do mean
Lemmy's,
but I mean Sweeney Todd.
Right, okay.
The little kid. Ladies and gentlemen, I have your attention, please.
See, that sounds really cute, doesn't it?
Oh, shut up, it's horrible.
I'll just know when I have kids, and I have to say I have no immediate plans.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not introducing them to you.
Fear I might of change what might by happen. The time you have kids. I might like them by then. I still won't take the risk. Because if they've got a Stoke accent, I'll probably like them.
Well, who's to say they will? By then I might have emigrated to Australia.
Ibiza or something.
Yeah, they'll do very well to pick up a Stoke accent when they live in South Africa, won't they?
A South African Stoke accent would
be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I'd like that.
Be really good.
Try and make that happen, even if you don't live in South Africa or Stoke. Try and make your children have that accent.
So when I speak to my son, like, we actually do live in Stoke, but I just address my child with, like, hello mate. Is that South African?
Keep going.
Okay, I'll try. I mean, I don't want to offend.
Say, hello mate, do you want some Haribo?
Hello kid, do you want some Haribo? Is that about right? Something like that. That's how South Africa...
You sound like when the radio's got really bad signal.
Okay, I hope I haven't offended any South African people. I really hope I haven't.
Me too.
Anyway, I think we need to move on because you text me this week. What we do, right, this is another taking the people behind the scenes. What we like to do is, on about a Wednesday, I'll text Lucy, like, or email, dependent on whether I'm at
a
computer.
I have a penchant for the email.
Do you? You prefer an email?
I think so.
I think, do you know why I think you prefer the email? Is because you don't feel the pressure to email back as quick as text. Because she just doesn't bother with me.
So I don't have to reply to you.
Because on text, I can see when you've read it. Whereas email, it's like, that you could leave that for days.
And I do.
And after about half an hour of no reply, I ring because I'm that needy.
You really are.
But what I normally say on a Wednesday is, any ideas? Got any chat? Have you got anything that's caught your eye this week? And one thing you said was the return of spotted columns.
Yes, so everyone else in the world will know what I'm talking about here. Just because basically spotted websites, so Spotted Library or Spotted Evesham, like it can be whole town or whatever.
Right.
They were a really big thing like 1-2 years ago. And I've just noticed them kind of creeping back into fashion.
See, when you said this, can I be completely honest and tell you what I thought?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spotted to me is when you go to the back of a certain magazine and it says spotted. Celebrity. Insert celebrity name here.
Right.
So spotted.
No,
Nicole
that's not
Richie.
What I'm talking about at all. No. So what I'm talking about is anonymous websites. Everyone knows what I'm on about. You're an idiot. This is so old. It's an anonymous website. So say I go to Sussex. Sussex Library. Spotted.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a Facebook page. That's the most common one. But there's Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Go on the Facebook page and you type something and it's anonymous and it'll come up. And I've got lots of examples. So like, to the beautiful girl I saw, I went to the loo to pass urine, not pass the perfect woman. Damn, you're fine. And it's anonymous.
Right. And right? Does the girl know who she is? Does she have any idea? There's no tags of this girl? Or is this lad hoping to meet her?
I mean, that one, she probably wouldn't know. But this one, to the guy in the red sweater who banged his knee on the way out of the library, I wouldn't mind if he banged me like that.
Wow.
Yeah. To the guy picking his nose like he's digging for gold, I still would.
Really?
Yeah. But it's not all like that. It's not just like a dating site.
Right, it's not all positive.
No, it's a mixture. So there's that kind of thing. I mean, I apologise to everyone that's heard about Spotted a million times before, but these are relatively new posts on the site.
Okay.
Because it kind of died and it got a bit boring and it was literally just people going, oh, I really want to ask you out, but I'm too scared. And it got a bit boring and a bit pathetic.
I've seen this in the paper.
Yeah, so they do this in those different things. But Sussex Library is particularly fantastic. And I've been...
But that's the only library you go to. That's the
Well, yeah, why don't I follow anyone
else? I'm sure there's people around the country who've got these going on. Although yeah, I've
exactly.
never heard of it.
So please tweet in with your favourite ones at Foobar Radio if you've got any good ones. It doesn't have to be a library. It can be a cafe or there's lecture theatres. You must have that at your uni. Spotted lecture.
No. Because
oh my God.
Can I be completely honest?
Yeah.
I hate the library.
Well, everyone does. Sure.
I hate it and I refuse to go. So if I was to do one of these spotted, if I was to set up my spotted, it would consist of spotted Sam's bedroom. And it would just be me maybe complaining about myself. And if one of my flatmates comes, so I could put spotted to that good looking guy who I see maybe once a day.
Yeah.
Keep out my room.
I mean, that kind of defeats the anonymity of it by the fact it's just you in there.
Well, I could have my housemates in.
I mean, there's stuff like, to whoever is the owner of the black charger cable that's acting as a game of limbo on the second floor, please remove it immediately. My back can't hack it anymore.
Are people constantly checking this?
All the time. Like, there's loads. I've got tons, but I've got something particularly special at the end, which I very much enjoy.
Right, are you going to just run me through
I'll
some?
Run you through
okay,
some,
brilliant.
And
this
then I've got
good.
My highlight.
Brilliant.
So, to the girl with hot cross buns, Pop Tarts, pineapple, and Oasis, Chef FFS. Okay, we're going to see what that is. To the girl who's been reading the same page for half an hour, give up and accept a tutu.
Okay.
Which is
she sounds like me because I can read and read a page and it will not go in.
To the guy on his laptop opposite me in the quiet section, I don't know what your spacebar did to hurt you. Please leave it alone. I'm 100% sure it's really, really sorry for whatever it did. Stop bashing it.
I like that.
There's a picture of a condom on the floor saying who's feeling frisky.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To the onlookers who witnessed my devastation as a packet of ready salted Walkers got stuck in the vending machine after purchase, thank you for your looks of sympathy. Solidarity, brothers.
And then why didn't they help him? Surely if enough of them have run at that...
I know, they should have shaken it. But you get told off for doing that, don't you? We have... Like, the library staff are so on it.
Yeah, they... Yeah.
Like, if you eat, they're just straight on you. It's amazing. To the couple that just went in the first floor bathroom together, since you took the risk, you might as well have lasted longer than 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and then the last one before my favourite thing in the world.
Brilliant.
To the northerner in the green top in the library today, stop acting casual. We all know it was you that was farting the whole time.
Wow.
Yep.
And that person will know exactly who they
exactly.
are, won't they? Because green...
So it is horrible, but it's also really funny because of stuff like this. Okay, so this is a picture. It's
okay.
all right. You don't need to see it. And it is from the Boys Lose. So I would never normally see this if it weren't for Spotted Library.
Of course. Because you don't go in the boys, you go in the girls.
I go in the girls one. That's my gender choice that I've made in life.
Good.
And I go for girls.
Can I be honest and say I sometimes choose?
And which do you prefer?
On the whole, the girls.
It's generally better condition when I have
much
been in
better.
Men.
Yeah.
So like if there's a queue or whatever. If there is a queue, I have no qualms about going into the men's. And I do that in clubs, and I've been kicked out of a club by a bouncer once for doing that.
Really?
Yeah, I
what
know. What's his problem? There was no queue for the men's. Massive one for the women's. I was like, well, either we on the floor or I go into the men's.
Did you say that to him?
I did, which he probably didn't like, because I did get a bit like, oh my God!
Yeah. You can't have been the first to do it, though. That's why I don't understand.
Well, it's ridiculous. But this is amazing. So in the Boys Lose, it is, they've written on the cubicle door, what films describe your poo?
Right, okay, this is good.
And we have scratched onto the wall, some of it's not a pen, like some of them clearly didn't have pens, and they've literally scratched it on with their nails to get this down. Do you want to hear some of the films that describe their poos?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Mm.
Can I take some guesses first?
All right, okay.
It's not a play on words, it's an actual film name.
All of these that I've written down are names of films.
Okay. What I mean is it's not taking a film name and turned it into
some
kind
of... There were a couple of them, but I didn't like them as much. All the ones I've got are literal...
actual films. I say I want to take some guesses, but at the moment I literally have no films in my head.
You know no films.
I know no films. So, I mean, I would say Saving Private Ryan, but that wouldn't describe...
I mean, you're an idiot.
Toy Story.
What?
The Incredibles.
Well, The Incredible... that could work, but no.
Superman.
What about 127 hours?
Okay, that's amazing. Right. Yes, I like this. Keep going.
Breathless.
I don't know the film, but brilliant.
Cool Runnings.
Oh.
7 Pounds.
I don't know the film, but it's good.
The Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Very good.
Blackfish.
Oh, God.
And The Dark Knight Rises. Okay, and this is my final one, and this is my absolute favourite. I think it's the best thing ever. So this is, what film describes your poo? There will be blood.
Oh. That is awful. Because you know what I've got to do now? I've got to say that we'll be speaking to Hannah next from Sport England.
I'm so sorry, Hannah. I'm not. That was amazing. There will be blood.
It's great.
127 hours. Blackfish.
Blackfish is my favourite. And Hannah, if you're listening, I'm extremely sorry, but Hannah next from Sport England, she'll be talking about This Girl Can, which is our celebration, our nod to International Women's Day.
That's correct.
Brilliant. We'll do that after this. It's Jess Glynn and Hold My Hand.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Right, that's the wrong one, isn't
it? I mean, this is why I should have my own little feeders and stuff.
I'm really sorry. Do you know what I pressed play on then?
A jingle?
No, it wasn't. Do you know, I really panicked.
What was it?
It was the pre-recorded interview with DJ Yoda. So obviously...
Don't be doing that. We need to talk to Hannah first.
We do.
Can you play Jess Glynn first, please?
Right, shall I try this one?
Is that... Yeah.
Jess Glynn, Hold My Hand. I got it right second time.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see your face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything.
So good, isn't it? Jess Glynn and Hold My Hand on FUBAR.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
That's right, Sam and Lucy with you until 8 o'clock this evening. That is an hour and 10 minutes by my maths. And Lucy, guest time, is it?
It is indeed. In celebration of International Women's Day, which is today, every year on this date, and people are celebrating all this week, I decided that I wanted to talk to someone, not necessarily strictly to do with International Women's Day. I want to talk to someone from the campaign This Girl Can, which we've got Hannah Bladen from Sport England, which is the company that set up This Girl Can. You'll have probably seen it on Facebook and Twitter. It's all over the place at the moment. But here to tell us a little bit more about it is Hannah. Hello, Hannah.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Pleased to be talking about the campaign, thank you.
Thank you very much, no worries. And on today of all days, seems appropriate. So before we get started, can you explain to us a bit about what is This Girl Can for people that don't know?
Yeah, sure. This Girl Can is about changing girls and women's attitudes towards physical activity, sport. And it's really about inspiring women and girls, giving them confidence to be more active. Because we've got some really quite poor statistics in this country at the moment. About 2 million women each week do less sport than men. So 8.8 million men do sport once a week, 6.8 women at the same level. So 2 million difference, which is concerning. But when we did research, 75% of women do want to do something, but something's stopping them. So This Girl Can has led us to understand what is stopping them, this fear of judgment, and to help women and girls up and down the country overcome those fears of judgment.
So with this fear of judgment, that you're right, there's clearly a gender gap here. Why is it women that are fearing judgment, not men? What is your research found is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is fair to say that we've had some feedback from males who do also resonate with these fears of judgment, but it's much more stark in women and girls. So the three things under the banner of fear of judgment we found were about how women and girls look. So this fear that I don't look right, I wobble, I jiggle, I bounce. This fear of just that's not looking right. The second fear was this fear of not being very good at sport or exercise. Worried that we're going to get the feet wrong. Worried that we don't know the rules. Worried that we're not quite sure how to hold the racket. And the third fear, and this is very, very pertinent to women and girls, but particularly mums, is this fear of being judged about taking time out to do something on yourself. This sense that there's always something more important, family stuff to do. So this fear that, you know, it's just not right for me to go and do something because that means I'm not a good mum. So they do cut across to men as well, but much, much more stark in women and girls.
So what exactly does This Girl Can do? Apart from raise awareness, what kind of things are you actually doing to tackle this issue?
Yeah, so part of it, as you say, is raising awareness, having a national debate, creating conversation. Some of this is also about women and girls really seeing themselves as the same as the women in the adverts and really relating to it, and therefore themselves feeling inspired to get up and go and do something, to join an activity, to go and knock on their neighbour's door, to go and try an activity. So that's sort of self-empowering. And the third thing is for us at Sport England and across the sports sector to really understand what we've learned from the research into the campaign and know what issues that women and girls are facing, lack of confidence about how they look, how they feel, and make the sporting environment out there really appealing to women and girls, taking a step back and thinking, actually, what will my environment need to look and feel like to make women and girls feel confident to even enter that environment, whether that's a leisure centre, a swimming pool, a sports club. So really thinking about how we feel like we supply sport in this country. Now we understand the issues of why women and girls are not engaging with it.
Hannah, you mentioned the advert there briefly, and I know that's what caught Lucy's eye and why Lucy wanted to cover this. It is a brilliant advert, really inspiring and powerful. Has it got the reaction you expected to do, or has it kind of surpassed that? Because it's brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, do you know, it has probably surpassed our expectations. You know, we put a lot of effort into the research, into the insights, into talking to real women about the real issues, and really wanted the advert to be authentic and people go, yeah, that's me, I can relate to that. So that the media, the social media, the national, regional, local debate across a range of channels has been amazing, absolutely fantastic. Our aim is to keep this a long-term campaign. We don't want this to be here today, gone tomorrow. So we're going to keep working hard, and today me talking to you is another good example of keeping it live, keeping it real. And we're going to have more bouts of adverts in months to come, but really making this change how women and girls feel about themselves, but also changing how society views women and girls in regard to sport and exercise.
I think, obviously, this is all absolutely fantastic. And as a young woman, particularly a young female student, there's definitely a big rise in people doing sport, whether it's football, swimming, gymnastics, there's a horse riding, a whole variety of sports people are doing. But something I'd love to talk to you about is the massive rise in popularity of pole dancing as a sport and as a form of exercise. I know I was talking on the show earlier, I've just been for a big weekend with a load of girls out up in York, and they all do pole dancing regularly and compete. And I was just, and obviously, you know, some people are for and against this. It's a difficult issue for some. What's kind of this girl Can's attitude towards pole dancing?
We're tending not to have a particular attitude towards a particular activity or a particular choice that a woman and girl makes. Our view is, and the campaign is very, very broad in its images. You'll see footballs, everything's covered, all different activities that you may or may not associate with women and girls. So it's not for us, I suppose, as a national organisation to dictate or determine or tell girls what they should choose to do. What's fantastic is whatever they choose, they've found the confidence, mm-hmm. they've found the motivation, and they've found something they love and they enjoy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anything, doing anything active in my book is brilliant. Not for me to tell you or anyone else what that should be.
I think what's great about this girl can, and actually what's been great over the last few years, is the rise of things like pole dancing and Zumba. It was maybe mm-hmm. 18 months ago, 2 years ago. Those kind of activities are getting more women to the leisure centre and getting out, don't you think, Hannah?
Absolutely. Our statistics over the last couple of years did see a significant spike in participation in Zumba. What we're seeing is, and again, the research has told us, that people want to enjoy their activity. They want to feel confident. They want it to be fun. It wants to be light, entertainment. You know, people are choosing to spend their time and money on doing an activity and very much putting the fun back in the activity, being there with your friends. Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter we're not very good. Doesn't matter that we don't have the footwork quite in tune with the music. And the campaign's very much about that, you know, quite sort of... hopefully a bit sassy, a bit edgy, showing lots of wiggling and jiggling and sweat to allow women to say, do you know what, just do anything, choose what you want, go out there and find it. And if it's not there and you can't find it, well, maybe create it yourself or create a few girlfriends together and go and do it together.
It's interesting that you said women there, and I wholeheartedly disagree and am annoyed that this point has been brought up in the media. But particularly I noticed it in The Guardian. There was an article that commented on the fact that this girl can uses the word girl rather than woman. And I was just wondering what this girl can's response is to that. People saying that perhaps it maybe puts off older women or anything. It's targeted, you know, at young, fit girls rather than women. I disagree with this point, just so you know. I'm not attacking you at all. I think it's nonsense. But I was just wondering what your response is to that.
Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time in advance of the campaign. So once we decided we needed to do a campaign and we had government commitment to drive it forwards, we then started thinking about, if you like, the detail. And through various focus groups and talking with dozens and dozens and dozens of women and girls across all ages, we asked them actually the question about, you know, a collection of females, what would you like us to call you? What would you like us to refer you to you as? You know, and different words came up. And the best response came around use of the word girl, because the girls, and I use that word now, told us, you know, night out with girls, a girls' night in, girls' weekend away, let's go for a run with the girls. Those sorts of phrases really resonated with the people we spoke to. And actually what was really interesting, we particularly have an issue with teenage participation. The drop-off in those teenage years with girls is quite significant. And it was a teenage voice that told us they loved the word girl. And they felt that is how they talk to each other, how they want to be spoken to. What we've also found, although we had to put an age bracket on the campaign because we needed to focus on media buying, so we put 14 to 40 brackets because that's where we've got the biggest challenge and biggest participation difference. We've had great feedback from families and schools in focusing on the younger age group, and we've had loads of older women and women's groups who cater for over 40s going, we like this as well. This isn't, we don't feel excluded. So the term girl, we think, has hit and landed correctly. I mean, the overwhelming brilliant response we've had tells us that the word girl has landed well. But we also wouldn't wish that to anyone think that the 14 to 40 bracket is an exclusive age brackets. If you're 13 or 41, this isn't for you.
Today is International Women's Day, Hannah. Was this campaign designed to to coincide with International Women's Day? Or are you guys doing anything special to mark today?
Yeah, I mean, we've been designing this campaign for months and months, and we launched on the 12th of January this year, so we're about, 8 weeks into it. When we were looking at the detailed programming and rolling out of an activity, we absolutely knew March the 8th, International Women's Day, was a brilliant opportunity, another platform for us, to talk about sport in the context of women and girls. So we didn't design the campaign for today, but we wanted to use today as our platform to really get some further coverage. So what we've done with some key places across the country in partnership with places like London, Liverpool, Sheffield, Manchester, they have been, those places today have been running women and girls sessions deliberately to link International Women's Day with This Girl Can. So, for example, in East London earlier today in Mile End, there was a mother and daughter organised bike ride. In Liverpool today, there was taster sessions, hula hooping, taekwondo, lacrosse, rugby, football. And in Manchester today, there was loads of activities that started today and gone for another week. So loads of the places that we're working in partnership with have seized the opportunity to pull together both the campaign and International Women's Day and really create noise and activity to get even more women and girls engaged in the conversation.
So Hannah, where should people go to find out more about these events and everything that This Girl Can is doing?
Yeah, the best place to go to is our own website, thisgirlcan.co.uk, thisgirlcan.co.uk. And on there is our Sport England portal of everything linked to the campaign. So the full video, really nice backstories about the girls we featured in the campaign and about why they do sport and how good it makes them feel. There's also top tips to get started in your chosen activity if you're not sure where to go or what to wear. And there's also loads of opportunity to enjoy the conversation through social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. So thisgirlcan.co.uk is the best place to start getting involved.
Hannah, thank you so much for talking to us, and happy International Women's Day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Hannah. Hannah there from This Girl Can. It's organised by Sport England.
Yes, yeah.
And brilliant. I mean, it's a great campaign. And I know something that you actually were very keen to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. I've been thinking about this for ages as something to talk about. And I feel all warm inside. And it's so nice to just have a nice, lovely, happy thing. And it's all going well and it's doing a good cause. But it's not, I don't know, I'm not that I'm against this, but it's not like trying to raise money or anything like that. It's just a good thing that's being done.
Of course it is. And as you said, an apt day to cover it as well.
Exactly. Happy International Women's Day.
Right, OK, from one interview to another, we were hearing what happened when Lucy was out of the studio. And I do mention you, Luce. You get a lot of mentions during this interview.
Thanks. Does DJ Yoda ask after me?
He didn't really.
He ask for my number?
No.
Oh.
Although he does live round the corner, as you'll hear during the interview. Yeah. All right, so you'll hear what happened when I met DJ Yoda after this. It's the number one in the UK. Just announced. You know, on the other radio station that does the chart?
The rubbish one, yeah.
The rubbish one,
the
yeah.
The one that hasn't won all the Sonys.
No, and all the presenters are leaving to come to FUBAR.
Exactly, yeah.
They've just announced that this record's gone to number one. So you will hear my interview with DJ Yoda after King by Years and Years.
You remember how I used to tonight. Oh, let's fight. Oh, let's fight. Oh, let's fight. Oh,
Sam and Lucy here on FUBAR Radio with you until 8 o'clock this evening. But no Lucy for the next half hour. Instead, our guest for today, Mr. DJ Yoda.
Hello.
How you doing, mate? Okay?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Very nice to have you here.
Very good to be here. It's very close to where I live and there's free parking, so...
You happy with that?
So far, so good.
I think only just free parking.
Yeah, it's from 4:30, I noticed that, so yeah, it makes a difference. It's these small things that make a difference.
And you've had a busy day today, I believe.
Yeah, just in the midst of the craziness at the moment. My album comes out on Monday, so that traditionally means hectic week
yes.
before the album. Yeah.
Is it just a week? Because it is exactly a week from today we've got.
It's exactly a week from today, but today's a pretty typical day. And I did a live session with the band that I'm working with this morning, which was filmed, then a photo shoot. I've done another interview and now I'm here. So that's a pretty typical week of the album released kind of a day.
And after you're done with me, is that it for today?
You can that's go it, home. Yeah. I'm going to go home and probably make some lamb is what I'm thinking.
And before it all starts again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apart from the lamb, it'll be something different tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I should hope so.
Might be chicken.
Although I'm one of those people who eats the same thing all the time.
You're strange to me.
Really?
Sorry.
That's just simply not taking the time to learn to cook other things.
I live for food. I'm all about the food. Food and music are my motivators.
I didn't think we'd do this already so soon, but if you had to say, what is DJ Yoda's, your best dish?
My best dish? Well, to tie in with the album, I'm going to say a large bowl of colourful American breakfast cereal.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Although that takes no creativity from yourself.
No, it's not about the cooking. It's just about the enjoyment. Yeah, yeah.
I think we start, if you don't mind, by kind of, for those that don't know, just outlining what it is that you do as DJ Yoda, because I think that way it kind of gives your current project a bit more context.
Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
Quite different, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's different to what I normally do. I mean, I've been DJing for, 20 years or so. And if people ask me what it is I do, I generally describe it by saying I'm a hip-hop DJ, but I might not necessarily play just rap music. Like, I play anything that I like, really, and that can mean country and western, it can mean drum and bass, it can mean stuff from movies, like 80s pop, just anything that I'm into. But the way that I play it is like a hip-hop DJ.
How do you decide what goes into your set, then? Because, I mean... Will I turn up one day and get a completely just hip-hop set from yourself? Or on some nights, will it be something completely different? What dictates what goes into your set?
A few different things. I kind of like... The flexibility is kind of what I love about it, because I can turn up somewhere, and if I'm like, oh, this seems like I should be playing 1930s swing all night, then I can just do that. So you don't really know what you're going to get, but... And on a typical night in a club, I might just throw in all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever get booked and you're kind of told what to do, or are you quite lucky in that you're left to it?
I'm lucky that people now expect the unexpected of me. And I think that's really maybe the key to longevity as a DJ is to just stand by all the stuff that you love and don't be dictated to by it. I never really think what do the crowd here want me to play? Because I think that's the wrong way around. I'm like, this is what I... want to play. If you like it, then great, and if you don't, then I'm doing the wrong job.
Can we talk now, I guess we talk about your current project, because this is quite different to what you've done before, but I guess it's something that wanted to do. And
it's kind of the things that seep in from this current project to the past. Like, what I've tried to do throughout all these years is do something different every year. And a lot of that's come through collaborations, and a lot of it has come through technology. Like a big part of what I do, which I didn't say, is work with video as well. Yeah. So there's always that audiovisual side to my DJing. But I found that the most special things that have happened throughout the years have been when I've had the chance to collaborate with other musicians. And yeah. I've done that from classical orchestras through to brass bands and beatboxers. And
so you have had the experience of collaborating with this number of people in one go then?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. But what I've done with this new project, which I've never had the chance to do, is literally just put together a band from scratch and work with the whole band, and I'm kind of like the conductor, DJ and conductor of it. So the band's called Breakfast of Champions. The project came about in Manchester, actually, because there's a venue up there called Band on the Wall, and they have this kind of government-funded artistic residency that they put on regularly. And they approached me and said, well, what could you do that would be interesting? And I said, oh, I'd like to put together a band.
So it's an idea that you've always had, something you've always wanted to do, yeah.
You're just waiting for the right time to be able to do it, and the right way to be able to do it, because what they then did was put out adverts just saying, who wants to be in a band with DJ Yoda? And they had all these literally hundreds of people apply, and then kind of X Factor style auditions. Well, not really, not with people like standing in front of me, but I was checking out everyone's YouTubes and their SoundClouds and all that stuff.
It was left to yourself to do all that.
Exactly, yeah. And I whittled it down from the nut jobs to the like talented people. And then I just kind of treated it a bit like putting together a DJ set. Like, okay. I was thinking, well, I want this band to represent everything that I love musically, mm-hmm. so we need to make sure that there are good rappers. Needs to make sure that there is a drummer that can play hip-hop type stuff. I want someone that can play country and western on a banjo. I want someone that can play jazzy stuff on a double bass.
You kind of knew what you were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
It was vast, yeah.
Yeah. But it's an interesting way to put together a band, because I think so many bands are like four dudes who went to school together. And yes, that's a much more organic way of a band coming about. But this was more like, yeah, me treating it like a DJ set. Like I want to create something that sounds like when I'm DJing. So it was an interesting way of doing it.
What kind of backgrounds have the other guys got then? The guys that have come together, are they all from different ages?
Everyone's roughly the same age, actually. More or less everyone's 20s. From around the country, so people have come from Newcastle, Manchester, Bristol, down south. They're from all over. But the thing that kind of worked when we got together is that I kind of think of it like a Venn diagram. Everyone's got their own separate things going on and interests, but there is this big circle in the middle where all of our tastes collide, and that's how the album came about, is through that stuff.
When you first came together, am I right in saying you had a week, didn't you, to get something together?
That was the deal in Manchester, is that we had this intense week of, well, we met up on Monday morning, we met each other on Monday morning, and we had the gig booked for Friday night that was sold out. So we had those 5 days to get together all this music to perform. So the intensity and the pressure of that was amazing. I mean, I love working under those circumstances, because I think that the best work gets done under pressure. And I think in that period of time, no one is fiddling around on their phones. Everyone is focused. Yeah. We know we've got to get this done, otherwise we've got nothing to do. So it was really intense, but really productive. And yeah, we had this sold-out gig at the end of it that was amazing. So we thought, all right, let's try it again in London, make sure this wasn't a fluke. Sold-out jazz cafe, had an amazing gig. So we're like, okay, we're onto something. So at that point, we decided to finish up the album and take it on tour.
Was that kind of awesome last year, was it?
That was towards the end of last year.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the album, when you made the decision, right, let's do this, let's make an album, was December time, was it?
Yeah, it was kind of over that whole period. We were getting bits and pieces done as I was meeting up with the different members and collating it all. Got the album together over that period.
So when's it all come together? When did you finally say, right, the album is done and you could begin to do this sort of stuff, the promotion?
Oh, wow, that would have been... Oh, I lose track of time so much. Not only do I have a bad memory, but I'm somewhere different every week, so I just everything becomes a bit of a blur. But yeah, a couple of months ago or something, yeah.
You said you like working under pressure. When there's 11 of you, is it 11 or 12 including yourself?
There's 11 including me, yeah.
So you may like working under pressure, but bringing 11 people together, they might not all have that mentality. So I guess the Monday morning, was it did you know where to start?
I kind of had some ideas. I had some demos that of kind of grooves that I've created. They weren't finished songs, but they were just like ideas to build upon. And that turned out to be a really good way of working because everyone jammed on top of that. We found the best bits and narrowed it down to that. And in a lot of the cases, I then just whipped away the original thing that I put underneath it all, and then you're left with something new. It's a good way of working. But yeah, everyone was kind of on the same page. And my one worry about the project was like, oh, maybe one of these people is going to turn out to be a real idiot. But they weren't.
You didn't get any of that?
No. Luckily, like, everyone is super cool. Like, I wouldn't change the band for the world. It's just been a really, really good thing.
Were you meeting all these guys for the first time on that Monday morning?
Or almost. The rappers I'd met before, so I knew them.
How did you know those guys?
Well, two of the rappers are from Manchester, and they work with a band called The Mouse Outfit, who, I mean, that's why I picked them, because I was a really big fan of what they were doing. And similarly, the third guy, he's down from Portsmouth, called Rex Domino, and he's someone again who I'd seen his YouTube stuff, and I'd been in touch with him, and we'd worked on one song before in the past.
He's very young, I understand.
He is, he is. So there were just people that had impressed me, and that I'd, you know, I had this idea about what they're doing. Everyone else, I hadn't met him before that day.
Those guys coming from that kind of MC rap background, I guess for them it was perhaps the first time they were working with the instrumentalists.
Well, that was the good thing about the two guys from Manchester. The Mouse Outfit crew, they work with a live band, so they're used to doing that. And Rex from the South, he's like into instruments as well. He plays ukulele. He does spoken word as well. So they, luckily, open-minded guys that that were used to dealing with people tuning up trombones and all that kind of stuff.
So their regular sound is well within the realms of what you were trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I've kind of felt like that way about everyone, actually. Even the drummer that I chose, he's worked with rappers before. That, you know, everyone that's involved kind of has this kind of hip-hop sensibility, but in a very open-minded way. And that was really important to me because, like I said, like when I describe what I do, that's what I do, like hip-hop, but with a very open mind.
This must have been quite exciting for you. If this was something you wanted to do for a while, to finally get it done and to be, you know, out promoting it now.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I feel blessed in so many different ways with what I do because I could never have dreamed that I'd have such a cool job. Even just where I get to travel, like and the places I get to go, and then the people I get to work with, and then put together something like this, it constantly amazes me, and it's not something that I ever take for granted.
How's the production process with this album compared to those of the previous two? Much quicker process, much more enjoyable process?
Both, actually, I've actually found that every time I make an artist album, I kind of half the amount of time it takes me to do it. My first album took me a ridiculous amount. I mean, it was like 6 years or something, but working on it on and off. The second album, I think about half that. And then this album, about half that again. So I'm just learning to kind of produce quicker and quicker, I think, each time, which is important.
And this, because it's a band of 11 people, a very different sound to previous, or is it still very much DJ Yoda?
It is a slightly different sound. I mean, all the stuff that I've worked on previously is much more built around samples and samples only. Yeah. So the albums that I've done in the past, I've sat down with a sampler, turntables, everything goes into the computer, gets chopped up, and it's a very traditional hip-hop way of doing things. But what you end up with is kind of sound collage from the stuff there from the 30s and the 50s and the 90s, and everything is just thrown in there. It sounds like a band. Okay. The kind of musical genre influences of all my past stuff are definitely there. There's some like classic hip hop sounding stuff. There are some reggae stuff, some country stuff, some drum and bass stuff. You can hear all that in the sound of the band, but yeah, it's probably more about the instruments than the samples.
Is there any sampling in there? Because of course that's what people know you for.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of the kind of like I say, the grooves that people are playing on top of, that came from samples. So that will always be there. And it has to be there with what I do because I don't sit down with a piano or a guitar or anything. It's the only way I know how to create. So, yeah, that influence is definitely in there.
And what can we expect from the Breakfast of Champions live show? Because your live stuff is you DJing both the audio and the visual stuff. Are we still going to get the visual element when you're playing out?
Yeah, the visual element's still there. In fact, part of that whole artistic residency that we started the whole project with, at the same time, I was advertising for animators.
Okay.
Because I was thinking, like, I want there to be a visual side to this. That's really important for what I do as well. So we got four people on board, and they, as we were working out the songs, they were drawing to it and coming up with animation. So we've got all that original material as well, which I can use in the live show. So the live show is like me DJing, me VJing, nine guys playing instruments and three rappers. It's like, it's an extravaganza.
What was the animators' background? Are these kind of graphic students or are these established guys?
No, exactly. They were kind of emerging artists kind of thing that were happy to do something interesting and get stuff in their CV. So same kind of deal as the musicians, really. Yeah.
So it must have been great for you to be able to kind of nurture these guys and bring them on.
Exactly. That was the thinking. And the other reason for doing that was because the previous two albums that I've had before this, I was working with established vocalists on every song and also different vocalists on every song. And I'd sat down and thought, well, who, if I could work with any rapper or any singer, who could it be? And then made these lists and approached all these different people. And that was one way of working. And I thought, well, with this album, A, I want it to be much more focused, just have the same kind of vocalist on the whole album. And B, it would be interesting to work with people that haven't already had all that success. And like you say, just kind of start with people from scratch and try and build them up.
You've chose Click as the lead single, the first single to come off the album. Will there be other singles off it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there is, yeah? We've been talking about that today and planning a video for the second single, but it's not written in stone yet, so I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, Click's the first one, and we'll see how it goes from there. Yeah.
And why Click? What was it about that particular one?
I think it kind of represents the sound of the band pretty well because everyone's on it. It's a very... it's probably kind of a more traditional hip-hop kind of a track, but that's really the basis of where the band comes from, and then it will go off in other directions from there. So it's the core of it. Click represents the core of the band, definitely.
I think what we'll do, we'll play Click now, and then we'll come back and talk some more off the back of it.
Cool.
It's Sam on FUBAR Radio, joined right now by DJ Yoda, and this is his current single. It's called Click.
Yo, check. Yo, hear me booming in the streets of money, sound bounce around the planet, on town to over city, flow bound for pretty Paris, flow round, be giddy, rapping, no clowns, we getting aggy, be prowling a set of manic, you manna like mannequin, stiff with a rhythm, stay flexible, impeccable, execution is needed to succeed, it ain't easy, believer, hire self, self hired, I don't need a CV, bright fire spark, start flying when I'm being me. Ready, steady, let them listen up hard. Getting on with it, beyond the mix. Word form to bar, content with one lens. Only seeing content, nonsense. Simmer image, vision kicking off then. It's kicking off again, pretend that isn't what you said. And bury head up in the ground, down. Something about the sound, rewritten you of your inhibition. This the same as your mission, it isn't any different. We help to paint the pictures. Some hand clapping, man slapping, pram tapping. Put brands back in, previous plans slacking forward. Futures easy to lie about. Watch as we try it out. Support our side without reasonable clarity to look down and analyze. Claim we're proactive, excellent alibis. Tall on a pedestal, a new saint to canonize. Strategy, plan, devise, conquer and plan divides. Workload, brain stale. Clothes, chainmail. So your tame cells. Hurt though, blame fails. What are we building for? Those with direction. Flaunt it at all costs, behold my selection. Tells of the future so easy to fabricate. Wipe off the words that you've heard on the tragic slate. CV, it's easy, become the lie. Live and die in them, immortal disguise. So is life, pessimism leaves me frowning in optimistic light. Finding the balance within the yin yang spectrum is more compelling than watching the zeitgeist addendum. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Now it's necessary for you to see how earth is getting down. Animals being slaughtered, families being tortured. A non-violent crime will get you cornered by the warden. Here's a baton, smash it in your own head. Here's a cannon, blast it at your own friend or family member. And remember to stay with them till the end so you can dismember everything that they meant. Patriotism will lay waste to your wisdom. Remain fake in your vision and lay bacon in jism. Nobody listens to what the madman says because it's always the opposite to what has been written upon the page. We're all born with it.
So alive,
Breakfast of Champions with Click. It's Sam on Foobar Radio. Lucy, not here right now. Instead, I'm with the man behind the Breakfast of Champions project, DJ Yoda. And I think what we'll do now, Yoda, if you don't mind, can we talk about the Six Music Show? Because
yeah,
this is something quite new for you, and as a radio DJ, something I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
Because I've heard you say you've turned down radio stuff in the past.
Mm.
What was it about Six that made you go, okay, right, I want to do that this time?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, over this career I've had, there have been opportunities to be on various radio stations, and I've always said radio's not for me. I don't think that's my thing.
But why? What
because
made you say that?
I don't like the idea of being forced to be enthusiastic about new music week in, week out. So I don't feel like that. Yes, new stuff comes out that I love, but not enough to fill up a radio show every week. And I just, my whole thing, as I've been explaining, is about just being totally honest about what I'm into and whether that stuff is supposedly uncool or cheesy, or whether it's not for my demographic or whatever it is. That's what I like, and I can't lie about what I like. I can only be honest about it. And I feel like every kind of radio thing that's come up in the past would have involved me having to be fake in some way about music that's coming out. And then I did something with BBC Six last year where I did a audio-visual mix on the radio where you could basically watch it on your TV at the same time as listening.
That would be a radio producer's dream at the moment, because they're obsessed with the visual stuff. For you to come in and do an audio-visual mix, they must have been loving it.
I did get told that a lot. Everyone was like, I think there was lots of heads of other stations were there watching it as a kind of experiment, and I think it was very interesting to them in that sense. To me, it's just what I do anyway, so it kind of
was it very in. Similar to what you did? Was there a theme that?
I think I played a lot of stuff off my last album because it was around that period, there were some issues with rights, so I had to be able to have the copyright for the stuff I was playing. So I was narrowed down a little bit, but it was more or less what I do. But I found that really just exploded in terms of like Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. So many people seemed to have caught it, and I thought, oh god, loads of people that listen to me must listen to Six Music. And then when the opportunity came up to work with them, I thought, well, actually, this is a correct fit. Yeah, this is the thing that I've been waiting for radio wise because they said, if you want to do a show on the Six Mix, we just won't tell you what to play. Play anything that you like. And I thought, okay, well, that's the kind of radio that I can get behind. That's going to work for me. I've used it as a kind of opportunity to play a lot of old hip-hop, which is my roots and where I come from, but then anything else that I think is cool. And I think that that's a good fit for me.
So it's the Six Mix kind of rotation, you with a number of DJs representing different genres.
Exactly.
How often does your show come around?
It comes around every couple of months or something. My next one's coming up next week, actually.
Okay.
So something like that, yeah.
And how does it work? Is it you in the mix? I mean, week to every month when it comes around, are we still getting the visual stuff, or is that kind of part that was
that
one
was
project?
A one-off. Hopefully yeah. We'll do that again. But the way I've kind of structured the show is I get 2 hours. The middle hour of that, I'm in the mix DJing. Okay. And the half hour before, before and after it, either side of it, I'm playing the first half hour, I'm playing old stuff that I love that's influenced me and talking about it.
Yeah.
And the last half hour, I'm playing new stuff that I love and talking about it. So,
have you found the talking about it aspect? Because obviously, you going into the mix for an hour and playing stuff you love, you're very used to.
Yeah.
But being able to kind of passionately talk about the stuff, how have you found that?
That was one of the things that I was worried about, but when I did it, it was fine. I've done enough things like this where I've been interviewed on podcasts and on radio shows that I'm now used to sitting in a radio show and talking, so it's just being as natural as possible.
And it is predominantly older stuff, but the new stuff you're playing, what is it? Is it hip-hop stuff predominantly?
Hip-hop, yeah. I wouldn't say it's all that. The show that I've got next week, I'm going to play some new reggae stuff that I like as well. And I can play anything. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. But yeah, I would say the core of it is hip hop stuff because that's what I'm listening to.
Yeah. So what? Name some artists that you are enjoying at the moment, the current stuff.
There's one particular guy called Your Old Droog,
okay,
who is absolutely amazing. He's released a lot of music over the last year, and everything's just been I'm like jaw droppingly good. Action Bronson is someone that I'm a big fan of, but I did a track with him on my Chop Suey albums. I guess people know that. Danny Brown is really good. I like all Kanye's new music. I don't think he's a particularly likable character, but his music I've always been a big fan of, so I like that stuff. I've got my eye on all the new hip-hop that comes out, and actually I think we're in quite a good place with hip-hop in 2015.
you mentioned not very likeable characters there. I think it wouldn't be right to have you in as like a DJ in the truest of forms, as somebody who actually is an artist as a DJ, without talking about the DJs that are currently making the most money of all DJs, people that probably don't represent what a DJ really means.
Yeah.
I just wanted your take on it.
Well, that is exactly my take on it, is that they're not representing what a DJ is. And I don't really have an issue with the fact that there's people like Tiësto and David Guetta in this world, and that they can sell out arenas and make millions of dollars or whatever it is. But I do have an issue when it gets described as DJing. That's my bugbear, is that if they came up with some other name for that, like this is Tiësto's laser show or his light show or
Tiësto press and play on all his hits, and everyone else's hits.
Or celebrity appearance or whatever it is you want to call it. That's cool, but it's when people get confused about that being DJing, it's kind of offensive to someone like me that grew up for years practicing scratching for hours every day, and you know that's what I call DJing. But I guess DJing is a very broad art form. You know, there's DJs on Radio 3, there are like hospital DJs. DJing means a lot of things.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, it's a lot about the technical skill, and it upsets me when people are very successful calling it DJing that don't have any of that.
I think part of it perhaps is these guys are producers first and then go into the DJ stuff, whereas obviously DJing is where you've come from.
Yeah, it's a different discipline.
Definitely.
And yeah, and I think there is, these people are famous for producing EDM stuff, and they get paid to DJ in inverted commas because of that, but it's a different world.
How did you find going from DJing, what you do in a club, to then producing? Was it a similar time that you got into it, or was it definitely DJing first?
It was definitely DJing first. I was always messing around. Even as a kid, when I was like pretending to scratch on my parents' hi-fi, I was also had a Casio keyboard player that had a sampler and tried to kind of make really basic hip-hop stuff that way. So I was always messing around with it. But I think that I found that the technology was more of a obstacle than it was with DJing. By the time I'd saved up and bought turntables and a mixer, that's all you need to be able to learn to DJ. But the production stuff, I always felt I didn't really understand what I needed as much. I messed around on an MPC, which is the kind of drum machine, for ages. Never really anything good came out of that. And then I had a computer and the wrong program on that. So it took me a while to kind of find the right way of doing it. But as soon as I kind of started to get my head around the tools that I needed, then, yeah, it was like slow burning, not like the DJing, but I eventually got there. And now I'm, you know, that's a world that I feel comfortable in now.
Your set, as we talked about, is very complex with the visual aspects and the audio aspects. What does your kind of your setup look like? Your DJ setup?
It's actually deceptively simple. I still use Technics turntables. It's two turntables, a mixer in between them, and a laptop to the right.
Right.
And it's no more complicated than that. But it's the program that you're using and the mixer that you're using that stuff updates every year. And I'm into using the latest version, because I always just think, well, what new stuff that's cool can I do with this brand new gear? So I do keep up to date on that side of it. But as far as moving on to CDJs or controllers or anything like that, that doesn't appeal to me, because I like that kind of hip-hop aesthetic of turntables. It just feels right for me.
And that setup, that'll be you for the Breakfast of Champions. And then what else can we expect to see on stage? All 11 of you?
Yeah, all of us on stage. There's three rappers, a drummer, guitar, a brass section, a string section. What else is there? There's a whole bunch of us. We like roll into town like a troop.
And you've said you were already on stage today, or doing something, being filmed as an 11
we were,
today.
Yeah, we were recording a live session at Red Bull earlier today, so that was really good, yeah.
So you're very familiar with how it works, where everyone's supposed to be at.
We've done enough now that we're all comfortable with each other.
And about 10 days before you start out on the tour, starting in Manchester? And
first date on the tour is back at Band on the Wall to kind of repeat, hopefully, what we did there at the end of last year. And then the big London date is at the Forum in Kentish Town. And I think we're still putting in dates, actually, because there's festival season coming up and we're bound to hit a lot of those. So we've got some kind of key dates over March and April, and then it should continue over the summer as well.
I wanted to talk to you about festivals. I mean, it would make perfect sense, I think. You're a festival DJ, but to go out and take a band, it would make complete sense.
It just takes things to the next level.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, what I do seems to connect well at festivals. It's that kind of a vibe. Like, I guess I'm in some ways more of a kind of afternoon at a festival kind of a DJ than a 3 a.m. in a club kind of a DJ, because it's a bit more... of a cultural thing, I suppose. People need to watch a screen and think, and I hopefully make people's brains work a little bit more than just playing something that thumps along mindlessly.
How do the crowd react when you're doing your thing? Because if somebody's turning up at a club and they haven't, for whatever reason, realised that you're playing tonight, they'll get a shock.
Yeah, it throws people a lot of the time, especially bouncing around from genres as I do. A lot of the time people would be like, no, play more, play more whatever type of music it is. But that's just the way that I play. That's not going to change. It's mainly because otherwise I'd get bored. If I did a whole set of just rap music, I'd get bored. If I did a whole set of just jazz and funk, I'd get bored. So it's just to keep it interesting for me and for everyone.
To my mind, it's a completely different discipline to a lot of DJs who's simply a playlist, really. Yeah, the mixing... there's nice transitions between tracks, but what you do is, as an audience member, you're so much more involved. You've got a kind of...
Well, that's what I hope, and really the thinking behind it is that if I am getting to go to all these amazing places and I get to go and DJ in South Africa and China and Brazil and all that, if I'm being taken all the way there from London, like, make it worth me being there. Like, I can't understand the thinking of going all that way to then just play a song and wait for it to finish, then play another song and mix it in using some pre-mixing technology that means that I'm not doing anything live. So it's about doing something to earn my money.
Are there any festivals booked in yet?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. Off the top of my head, it's going to be hard for me to remember them. There's at least 10 or so booked in already, but all my dates are always on my website, and if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook or any of that, and you get to see where I'm playing.
And what's next? Is it carry on with the Breakfast of Champions stuff? Maybe another album with these guys, maybe? Or back to the DJ Yoda stuff?
It's early to say at this point. We're really in the midst of all this album coming out and the tour starting. I've been working on music constantly anyway, and I'm not quite sure what it'll end up being or who with yet. So it's something will happen. That's all I can say at this stage.
I just wondered, it's probably too late to be asking this question, but what are these guys doing now? I mean, you're all coming together ahead of the tour, but kind of in that gap between the album being finished and going on the tour... These quite young guys, they've probably just gone off back to normal life, haven't they?
They've different in each case. Most of them have got their own bands and are doing things. There's one guy who's in France touring at the moment. There's one guy in America touring at the moment. So the logistics of getting everyone together at the right times have been one of the issues. But lots are in their own bands. But one of them is literally peeling potatoes in the back of a pub as we speak, because that's his other job. Yeah, so it's a bit of everything.
And a couple of the guys who are within the group that is Breakfast of Champions, they're supporting with their own bands, is that right? Have I got that right?
Well, you're talking about the support at the Forum, I think.
Yes, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different people supporting that. The Mouse Outfit is the band that the two guys from Manchester are in, and they're going to support, as well as Reeps One, who's an amazing beatboxer, and Disraeli, who's wicked as well. So I feel like there's this little scene now of like... forward-thinking UK rap, which is all those people are part of a collective of.
All right, then. Well, I am just about out. I think I'm done. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
For joining me. You're 10 minutes down the road. You can go and have your lamb.
Yeah, like I said, free parking, so it's been a pleasure.
We should just say Breakfast of Champions released March the 9th.
That's right.
So when this goes out, that will be tomorrow.
Okay. Out tomorrow.
Very good. And the other place we didn't get, we gave Manchester a mention, London a mention, Southampton, Glasgow, Gateshead, Gloucester and Bristol is what I've got written down from your press release.
Yeah, there might be more by this stage. Who knows?
But a press release you probably have nothing to do with, I imagine.
No.
Well, DJ, thank you very much for coming in, mate.
Thank you again.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Lucy, brilliant questions you asked there.
Thanks, I really feel like I got to the heart of what it is to be a DJ.
Yes, you did, yeah. Some brilliant questions you asked DJ Yoda.
Insightful, I'd go so far as to say.
And now you're a massive DJ Yoda fan, you say?
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Kalfan and Treasured Soul, a track that we played before Christmas, Lucy, but I brought it back because it's getting a proper release and everything.
I definitely noticed that.
Do you definitely notice that we played it before?
No.
It's good though, isn't it?
It's alright.
You'll be able to get it soon, apparently. Treasured Soul by Michael Kalfan. Now, at this point, we want to do Celebrity Chop. But because, there's no excuse, because we've basically had about 40 minutes off, haven't we?
Yeah. We've just been sitting here chatting. He's just taking his gum out now as he speaks. He tried to do it subtly so you wouldn't notice, but I'm telling you all, he was just sitting there chewing gum. We had a coffee.
It was great. So I should have actually been putting that time to good use, you know, like getting Celebrity Chop ready.
And you didn't.
I didn't. So if you just keep talking.
I liked the interview with DJ Yoda. And so I hadn't heard of him before, which I know is really bad because he is massive in that scene. A fantastic interview, by the way. Very impressive.
Thank you. I was nerding out a little bit, wasn't I?
Oh, God, yeah. But, yeah. You know, that's okay. You nerd out. I mean, I nerded out earlier with this girl, Can. So
you did, yeah.
I had a nerd off with each other. But my favourite thing was sort of towards the head of the interview. He said that he's worked with brass bands.
Yes, he has. That's a fact.
I wish I'd been there because obviously I'm a brass bander. We could have bonded. I didn't think me and DJ Yoda would have much to bond over, but love of brass bands.
He also, did you hear what he said? Big fan of the cooking.
Yeah.
So I think he actually, there was a lot more to DJ Yoda.
Mm.
I certainly couldn't bond with him over cooking because I have a routine of eating chili every single week, bolognese every week, and then the rest of the week I eat pizza. So he was unimpressed
skinny?
By that.
How are you not like a house?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm skinny, but yeah, you're right. Slight. I'm lucky that I'm not a house. Well, I'm not as slight as I'd like to be, but that's because I eat too much pizza.
I'd say you're like normal size, I guess.
But nowadays, Lucy, that just isn't good enough, is it?
It's not. You've got to be your best.
You have, exactly. Right, are you ready to do Celebrity Chop? But with nice Celebrity Chop.
Oh, don't do that.
Celebrity Chop. Very good. Just 16 minutes of the show left. That interview was very long, much longer than I anticipated, which is weird because I did the editing and everything. But now it is time for Celebrity Chop. Are you ready for number one?
I'm ready.
Does it need explaining how it works?
No, people will work it out.
People will work
if
it
not,
out.
If not, you can go back and listen. Can you still catch our old shows on places?
Of course
places?
You can. Where it's can on you do the that, iTunes. Sam?
On the old iTunes on the and old SoundCloud.
There. Yes, on the SoundCloud as well. And if you go back for our Twitters, I tweet it. Lucy doesn't because she likes no association with me. But I always tweet it.
Give me the first one, you idiot.
I ran straight to her room. I ran straight to her room.
Any ideas?
Oh, my God.
I ran straight to her room.
I
ran straight to her room. It's a celebrity, but in one what context is he saying I ran straight to her room?
One more time.
I ran straight to her room.
I'm guessing, I don't know if you heard about this, Sam. I guess you did because you've looked this up to get it. But yesterday there was a big issue at the White House. The White House went into lockdown.
Did it?
Because they thought they'd heard a gunshot fire.
Right, and what was it?
It actually turned out it was a car backfire outside the White House, but it went into complete lockdown. The army turned up and everything, and that is that's actually Obama putting on an English accent.
I ran straight to her room.
Yeah, putting on an English accent there, saying about how, because I mean he's so stressed, he goes English when he's stressed. Everyone knows that about Obama, and he was saying about as soon as he heard that, he ran straight into Michelle's room to be like, "Oh my God, what's going on? We need to get to the safe room."
Right. So, President Obama.
Yep.
Barack. He's married to
AKA.
Michelle.
AKA, yep.
Yeah. So why would he have a different room to her? Why would he say, I ran straight to her room?
He was in the Oval Office, wasn't he? He's got stuff to do, Sam.
Yeah,
God!
Hang on.
Right, can you just leave Obama alone, all right? He has to work all day.
Hang on.
Michelle can put her feet up in her room.
What do you mean, her room? They're a married couple.
Their room.
Right,
okay.
So he wouldn't say she... Right. So context,
well, we
I can put you disagree
their,
with.
You know, we don't know what their marital relationship's like, Sam. They might have separate rooms. And isn't who are you to judge the Obamas? I mean, I think you're getting a bit high and mighty here. You are getting above your station, Sam Hutt.
I don't want to judge the Obamas. I really don't.
You just did. So we've offended Northern people. We've offended...
No, you offended Northern
South
people.
South African people.
I
and now
offend
we've
South
offended
African
Obamas.
People.
The collective Obamas.
I just think as a married couple, they should have a room.
I
Their
probably
room.
Offended DJ Yoda by not knowing who he was. I mean, this is just a show of offence.
You shouldn't say you don't know who DJ Yoda is.
Oh, you told me to be honest.
I did say to be honest. Right, okay. Can I be honest now?
Go on then.
That isn't Barack Obama, and it's nothing to do with the White House. Oh. It's in fact James Corden, somebody with an actual British accent that he doesn't have to put on, talking about how he had to apologise to Adele. Do you remember when he cut her off at the Brits a few years ago?
Yeah.
I did. I ran straight to her room. She wasn't there. Her manager was there, and I was going mad. I was just like, every word under the sun came out. I was. And then I went and shouted at some other people. And then there was some collective shouting, and then we all went, oh, no one's died.
Do you want some more honesty?
Go on then.
I spent an hour watching James Corden on YouTube this morning just to find that clip.
Oh, Sam. Yeah.
The two other clips found
thank
dead
you,
quick.
Though. No, the listeners of the Sam and Lucy show, thank you.
I'm wondering if Celebrity Chop, right? Does it sound anywhere near as good as the effort I put into it?
Well, people love it. People have told us before that they play along at home, so I hope so.
Okay, cool. And we have had some tweets, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's Celebrity Chop number two.
And everyone's a little bit stiff.
Any ideas who that is and what it is they're saying?
I think you'll find... Can I hear it one more time?
And everyone's a little bit stiff.
I think you will find that is Madonna...
Okay.
And she's talking about how she... Basically, obviously, she fell. The Cape incident.
There was an incident
Cape
with Madonna,
Gate.
Wasn't there? Yeah.
Cape Gate, as it shall henceforth be known.
And I mean, so, that was that before that dress thing? Because that took over the internet. But then, do you remember before that dress thing?
It was post-dress thing, wasn't it?
No, it was pre-dress thing.
What? No!
It was on the Wednesday.
Cape Gate
happened Wednesday of last week, or the week before. What, last week?
No, Cape Gate was post-dress gate.
No, it wasn't.
Whoa.
The dress thing happened on Friday of last week, whereas Madonna got pulled to the floor by a dancer on the Wednesday.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know.
The internet only shut down, I think, with those two events, didn't it?
Yeah, basically, those gates killed it. But anyway, play again.
Okay.
And everyone's a little bit stiff.
It's Madonna. Basically, she had to go to the chiropractors, and she was sitting there.
Chiropractor?
Back.
Specialist,
back
right?
Doctor.
Yes. Okay.
And she was there, and they were talking about how stiff they all are because they had all had big falls, but hers was the only cape related fall.
Right, you can have some points for that. Possible of six, isn't there? That's how many is available.
Six is the maximum.
Five creativity.
Yes!
No, I'm not awarding five.
Oh.
You can have three. But I'm saying there's a maximum.
A bit generous.
Five. Maximum. You can have three.
Three.
Okay, that isn't Madonna though, so you can't have any for the correct.
You shock me.
It's not Madonna, it's Fat Lily Allen.
Oh.
Talking about when she goes to these celebrity events and everyone just looks a bit boring.
It's really lovely to be invited to those things, but I don't think, you know, it's not like a night out with your mates. It's not fun, you know, everyone's kind of like, where's the camera, you know, sort of, and everyone's a little bit stiff.
There you are.
Good old Lily.
Good old
I
Lily.
Like
she
Lily.
Speaks her mind, doesn't she?
I like her.
Slippery Chop number 3. Now, this one, I'm not sure if you'll get, I'll be, if I'm honest.
Oh, God.
I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot.
That's a...
Very distinct accent that one has.
Why did you think I wouldn't be able to get that?
Okay, I'm just saying.
All right, play again.
I'm not a robot.
That's Marina and the Diamonds talking about her most famous hit, I'm Not a Robot.
Marina and the Diamonds?
Yeah.
I'm not a robot.
Yeah, talking about her most famous hit, I'm Not a Robot.
I'm not a robot.
Guess what? I'm not a robot.
Right, one more time. Do the guess what and then I'll play it.
Guess what?
I'm not a robot.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's that new
that's
jingle.
That's exactly how it sounds.
So Marina and the Diamonds talking about a big hit, I Am Not a Robot,
yeah.
Which was maybe 5 years old.
I'm not a robot.
I'm not a robot.
I'm not a robot.
There you are. You're putting on a voice when you do that. So to me, that suggests you know where that voice is from.
I'm not a robot.
Right, so what voice is that?
Scouse.
Don't offend any more people, but yes, Scouse. It is. It's a Scouse accent.
Like Marina.
Is she?
Yeah, the famous Scouse, Marina and the Diamonds.
I'm not a robot.
That's her. That's her.
Right, I love the fact that Marina and the Diamonds are Scouse because she's she's hidden it from us very well, if that's the case.
Because people are judgmental, Sam.
I'm not a robot.
Very true. So that's your final answer. Marina and the Diamonds, talking about a big hit.
I'm not a robot.
That's the one.
Right, okay. 5 points for creativity.
Hey,
that's
hey.
Genius. It's not Marina and the Diamonds, though.
Disappointment.
Yeah. It's in fact Steven Gerrard.
Stevie G.
Stevie G talking about having to like retire and that because he's dead old. Although he's still brilliant though, isn't he?
Well, as the old Fulham chant is, Steve Gerrard, Frank Lampard, they're not as good as Jimmy Bullard.
I had an idea it was going to come at some time. You know, I'm human. I'm not a robot. I'm not 24. The reality is, Brendan came into this club when I was 32 years of age. And
I was 32 years of age.
It's just a shame that relationship never started 10 years ago.
And I'm a big hit with him. I'm not a robot.
Right, stop talking because you're offending too many people. We're gonna have no, but we'll have no listeners that aren't offended.
We've knocked off Yorkshire. Well, we've knocked off anything between Birmingham and Scotland,
which is awful because I'm one of these people
all
who lives
South
between those
Africa.
Places.
You've offended. That was all you. And DJ Yoda. Where's he from? Well, he's from down the road.
He literally lives down the road, DJ Yoda, yeah.
I'm not a robot.
There you are. Celebrity Chop for another week. Right, loose.
I got 8 out of 18.
That's not bad.
Sorry,
that's
just chucking that in there.
Not bad going for you, actually.
Thank you very much. That was that was a backhanded compliment.
Not bad for you. Yeah, well, come on. You can't claim that you actually have been good at this game. You've
Obama,
never been good at it.
Madonna, Marina and the Diamonds.
None of them were correct. James Corden, Lily Allen, Steven Gerrard.
Shut up.
You couldn't be further away.
Oh, God.
Right, have you got some stuffer that's going on next weekend?
I do, and this is all actually true. I've been lying all show today, and you don't know what was true and what was a lie. But this, I can say, is true, and
okay.
That itself is not a lie. So on Friday, this is the coming weekend.
This isn't like stuff that's just
so
gone on this weekend.
This is like
weekend.
The,
yeah.
What's next weekend? Like the 13th, 14th, 15th, I think it is.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the one. So you got Modestep at Birmingham Motor Academy, Clean Bandit, who are massive right now, at the Alexandra Palace in London, Sunset Suns, who are lovely, at Old Fire Station Bournemouth, and for comedy, you've got the fantastic Dylan Moran Off the Hook show, Royal and Derngate, Northampton. Moving on to next Saturday, Little Comets, my favourite. I wanted to play them today, Sam wouldn't let me. O2 Academy, Newcastle.
That's not true.
True.
That's a lie.
Stiff Little Fingers, The Ritz, Manchester. You've got Claudia Brooken at The Haunt, Brighton. I will be there. Come join me. Lucy Rose at The Electric Circus, Edinburgh. And for comedy, you've got the amazing Lloyd Langford Old Fashioned Show at Slade Rooms, Wolverhampton. Moving on to Sunday, you've got Paloma Faith. She's hot right now. Bournemouth International Centre. You've got Hobie Stewart at the Glasgow Garage. Placebo at University of East Anglia. That should be fun. Go there. If you're in the Norwich area. And finally, for comedy next Sunday, you've got Simon Amster with his show To Be Free at the Northcote Theatre, Exeter.
And you did hear it earlier in the show when I spoke to DJ Yoda. We gave out a shout out to all the gigs he's doing over the next few weeks, starting with Manchester, I believe, on Friday, and then of Saturday of next week, his gig at the Forum in London, a gig that I will be attending. However, I'm not taking you because off air we don't get on.
We hate each other.
No, that's not true.
Well,
that's a lie. Another lie.
That's another big lie.
We've just got 2 minutes of the show left.
Right.
Which gives me a chance to tell an anecdote.
Oh, God.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. You've
I
been
had a
sitting
nosebleed
on this.
Today. I've had a nosebleed today. I'm 21. I've had a nosebleed.
Why did you have a nosebleed?
Because I blew my nose because I was a bit like stuffed up. As you can probably hear actually now.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit stuffed up and blew my nose and blood came out.
You had a nosebleed because you blew your nose too hard.
This is something that used to happen to me quite a lot.
So what? How are you ending the show with this?
Well, because I haven't had a chance to talk about it. Oh, this was going to be top of the
haven't
show.
Haven't had a chance? As if this is some big breaking news you need to tell me about.
At one point, do you remember when we used to do the admin at the top of the show?
Incontinence admin.
No, it wasn't. It was just admin. It was all kinds of admin.
Yeah.
I wrote this down in admin, but you just didn't give me a chance to get to admin.
For goodness sake.
I wanted to get this out at the top of the show, get it over and done with. I think it's important.
What, that you had a nosebleed?
Yeah, because I didn't know.
You know
I thought
what
you grew
I think
out of things like this.
It's a lot more important, Sam.
Go on.
The fact that it's International Women's Day, 8th of March, and I feel like that's what we should be closing the show with. It's International Women's Day, but it doesn't just end today, because I know it's late. It's 8 o'clock nearly. It's nearly over. But all of this week, there are events going on. Just Google International Women's Day. There will be events going on near you. There are talks. There are going to be charity runs. There's everything going on. So please just Google International Women's Day in your local area and find out what's going on, because there's so much stuff. And I know that's a serious way to end the show, but I don't want to end it with Sam having a nosebleed because he blew his nose too hard.
Why?
So Sam, happy International Women's Day, darling.
And to you, mate. Have any of these events going to tell me what's wrong with me? Why am I getting nosebleeds now?
No.
No? Okay. Because I thought it was quite a childlike thing.
Shut up, Sam.
You want me to press play on a record, don't you?
I just want anything to stop you talking about nosebleeds.
All right, then. Well, thanks again for listening. Another show done. Tick. I've lost count of how many we've done now, Luce.
I think, is this number 9, 10?
Yeah, it's not bad going, is it? We're starting being kicked off air.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much to DJ Yoda for coming on, and from Hannah from Sport England, who was talking about This Girl Can. Again, just Google This Girl Can to find out events and stuff going on there. And thank you to you, Sam.
Thank you, mate.
Apart from the whole nosebleed stuff, you did a belter today.
Is that annoyed you, the nosebleed stuff?
I mean, a little bit. Okay. You played a blinder in that interview, and now you ruin it by that kind of chat.
Loving isn't easy, but we were meant to be, babe. So I'll keep running at night till I get to you. And when it gets lonely, lost in the cold, babe, I'll be praying tonight just to get me through. And when the beat goes
nothing.